Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship at the Church of Conscious Harmony. It's a blessing to be together on this, the third Sunday of Advent, and I thank you for your presence here and your choice to be with us and in community today. Just a couple announcements for our attention. First of all, if you're visiting or a newcomer, I'd love the privilege of meeting you after the service. There's also a welcome table on the other side of the bridge, and someone from our team would be happy to answer any questions you may have about the church after the service. Also, this coming Saturday, I'd like to just make a personal invitation to any men in the community. We're having the men's winter solstice fire circle, which will begin at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall with food and some chanting, a teaching from Tim, our guest speaker, and then we'll walk down to the fire pit and have a time of drumming and sharing what it's like for men to deal with fear. And of course, sharing is completely optional and voluntary. Please call the church office if you hope to come. That'll help us in our preparations. Also, this Thursday evening is something so special every year that happens in the community. It's called the Glorious Impossible. Yeah, and so we'll gather at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary and be so blessed by our youth and children and adults who have put this Christmas pageant together to help us remember and to feel into the mystery of Christmas and to wonder what it might mean for each of our lives again this year. So 7 o'clock, Glorious Impossible. Invite your friends, invite your neighbors. This is an opportunity for our church to bless our community with the deep resonance of what Christmas, the essence of Christmas is, to remember our connection with God. SEVA teams are beginning their formation, and so those are open for recruiting, open for those of you who wish to serve the church. We need people to serve every Sunday morning. There's 5 SEVA teams. Call the church office. This is a great opportunity to give back to the church, to meet new people if you're new or relatively new, to put your foot in and without too much of a commitment. It's a very meaningful way to serve the church and prepare each Sunday. Like I said, there's 5 teams, so you'd only serve once every 5 weeks. Billy has asked me to let you know that we are in need of singers or musicians for the Taze service on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve Taze service is one of the highlights of my year. And so if you have a gift of singing or wish to share your gift of music, just let Billy know or the church office, and that will be wonderful. Let's see, what else do I have to share today? Oh, yeah. The youth are selling their 2020 calendar as a way of fundraising for their trip to Lama, and they'll be doing that after the service today. And then finally, in the bulletin, you'll notice there's an update on key dates, all related to the Journey School and the launch of the Journey School in 2020. So do look at those dates, and if you have any questions, you can always call the church or email in, and you can go to the website to find more information about the Journey School. That's all the announcements I have. I know there's a lot going on in the world, a lot going on in our country, a lot going on in our lives, in our city. You try driving around, get on Mopac. I mean, there's a lot happening around town and in our lives. So let's just recognize that we need a remedy for that busyness. And perhaps this service can be a remedy in some way for you in your body, in your mind, in your emotions. This third Sunday of Advent. So let's just take a moment in the silence and ask the Holy Spirit to bless each of us, to give to us what we need, and through this service bring remedy and peace and love to the world in some small way. May it be so.
Oh, Please stand and join us in singing the gospel in one word.
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, we stand in need of the touch of your love today that enters into our bodies and heals us of our sickness, our diseases, our pains, our suffering. We stand in need of your love to come into our hearts that open us up to no longer be afraid of fear and to experience your presence moment by moment. Help us to see in one another the reflection of your love and your presence. Help us to know the oneness that can bridge all divisions. Help us to be this love in this world. We ask this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen. Amen. I'd like to do something we rarely do, and that is to invite our Seva leaders forward to be recognized and to thank them. So at this time, I'd like to invite Bob Breckbill, Britt Paslowski, Mary Skifford, Cynthia Harp, Leslie Vio's not here, but she's in Colorado, and Rory Bros, who served for a brief period, and Leslie took her place. If those leaders could come forward and just stand in front of the table, that'd be great. These dear ones have for the last 2 years been the Seva leaders holding center every Sunday morning, and they started not knowing much, and I think Barbara just said, "Hey, would you help?" And then they retired, right? So this wonderful team was this bridge, and through the last 2 years I've seen them grow, evolve, and become just dedicated servants to this church. Sunday after Sunday, 6:30 in the morning they're here, leaving at 1 in the afternoon, holding center for their groups. So I just wanted to give the opportunity for the community to give them a round of gratitude, applause like we've never heard. For all the coffee and hot water and donuts and quiches and all the sweeping and all the unlocking and locking of doors, for being the last one to leave the campus every Sunday, I say from my heart to yours, thank you. Amen. And now I'd like to invite our new Seva leaders who will be beginning this January for 2 year terms. And I'd like to invite Brian Swan, Jeff Ward, Dubili Mazulos, and Karen Betts forward. You can just stand in front of the table again. What an amazing team we have. And I've had the privilege of getting to know all of you in the last 2 years, and some of you are as new as I am. So it's been a total joy to be on this journey together. And what I want to do now is just say thank you for your yes, and for your willingness to be in formation and training, and for your capacity to lead in a spiritual way, getting out of the way, and just serving our community. And I just want to say thank you in advance for that. And then what I'd like to do is let's just anoint them with the healing energy and the just of the whole community, just that you'd be bathed in love, that you'd have the energy, the strength, and everything you need to do this role for the next 2 years. No giving up. May the Holy Spirit of God infill you in those moments where you just want to cry or give up, where there's not enough or it seems like people aren't showing. May you have the courage, faith, and strength to hold center and to trust that God is in it all. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you.
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Matthew chapter 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
I don't know if you caught that little phrase in the gospel where John's disciples go to Jesus and are wondering about, they're asking John, "Are you the one?" About Jesus. Is this the one that we should follow? Is this the Messiah? Are you the one? So we'll talk a little bit about what that might mean. Are you the one? We are on the Advent way toward Christmas light, so hopefully in a little bit we'll have a time of community sharing to hear how your Advent way is going toward the Christmas light, or if it just looks like a dark tunnel at the end. What your Advent journey has been like. How are you growing? What are you learning this Advent journey as we move toward the celebration of the coming of the light of the world? Are you the one? It's a very interesting question. And I think the way to begin is to tell you a little analogy, a story. When I was in sixth grade in Elm Grove Lutheran School, I was on the boys' basketball team. Now you can imagine, looking at me, at 5'11" at best, that basketball wasn't my primary skill in life. And I tried out, and I know I embarrassed myself. And I remember being on the sideline when we would pick teams as a class, and the captains would go through the line, and of course I was so nervous, you know, am I going to get picked, or am I going to be last to be picked? And of course that sixth grade year was so humbling because John got picked, James got picked, Tom got picked, you know, down the row, and then last Peter got picked. And if you've ever been in that situation where you haven't been the chosen one, where you've been passed over, where you have been ignored, where you have been denied something you desire, I think you can understand something of this analogy. Well, 2 years pass, and January of my eighth grade rolls around, and there we are picking teams again, and over the last 2 years, I had developed in skills, and who was first to be chosen? Me. And then the next guy, and the next guy. And it felt so different to be the one chosen first, to be included, to be viewed as worthy of being on the team, to be the first chosen. It's a simple example of this dynamic of not being the one and being the one. Now, if anyone has ever said to you, "You're my one," you know how heart-expanding that is and how extraordinarily meaningful it is to hear those words, "You're my one. You're my chosen one. I only want you." It's a very, very meaningful phrase to take into one's heart and to feel that and then to have the courage to believe it and to know it. And to let that truth in of our belovedness. Now, this is a very ordinary analogy, a very simple example of a deep, profound truth. Are you the one? So they were coming to Jesus, and they were asking John about Jesus. Is this guy Jesus the one? Is this particular person the one? And this reveals how so many of us are caught in the particulars of form and names and specifics. Well, there's no reason to be ashamed of this because we are particular beings. This is my heart rhythm, not yours. This is my irregular heartbeat, not yours. Not that that's happening now. But if it were, this is my social security number, not yours. This is my bank account, though I'd like yours. You know, this sense of individuation is very, very important in terms of well-being on this planet. And every healthy cell has a wall. And every cancerous cell is trying to get through that wall so that it can consume what's in that cell. That's dysfunction at a cellular level. At a psychological level, if we start enmeshing, that's really not good, where we lose our sense of identity and self. So on the day-to-day earth level, individuation and identification as an identity, as one person, as me, this is me, is very important and very useful. And as Bernadette Roberts and others like Byron Katie have borne witness to, when that sense of self starts to dissolve, things become quite interesting for those people who lose the boundary of their cell casing, so to speak, the cell casing of their self, and all of a sudden don't know where they end and the world begins. And Bernadette Roberts bore witness to the fact that this was a very difficult season in her life when that sense of self disappeared and she had to relearn how to be in the world. Now, I thought as I read Bernadette's book, The Journey to No Self and The Experience of No Self, The Path to No Self, I should say, I thought, well, wow, this sounds like some of the people I visited in various church contexts who came down with Alzheimer's. And some of the same similarities of a diminishment of their sense of self and personality. And sure enough, I think it's at the end of The Real Christ, or maybe it's somewhere else in Bernadette's writings, she acknowledges that, that's kind of what has happened to her, is that this Alzheimer's factor of losing a sense of self, of identity, started to disappear. Now, I remember Bernadette specifically telling me that that state of existence was not for this planet. She said to me that she thought God went too far with her, but that God was doing something to show us that the end of the spiritual journey isn't divine union, and that as hard as it is to believe, there's something more beyond divine union of the dissolution of the self itself that even knows it's in union with God. Hard to really grasp that. Big concepts. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that for most of us, on the day-to-day level, individuation and having a sense of self, having a name, having a driver's license, having an address is very important. And so we're not talking about that practical level. But if you ask the question a little bit differently, we begin to see where we're heading here when we talk about moving toward the Advent way to the Christmas light, that if you ask the question this way, there's two ways of asking the question. Are you the one? Are you the one? Are you that one? Or are you the one? Just feel into that. Think of the difference between looking at me right now and I'm looking at you. Are you the one? Now imagine that same question coming from outer space looking at planet Earth. Are you the one? Now, all of a sudden, yes, the planet Earth is the oneness of humanity, and we're all in this together. And wars have been fought, and blood has been shed, figuratively and literally, because people don't know how to love the particularities of each other, and it rubs us the wrong way, and we resist one person's way of being because we want our way of being. And we judge, we criticize, we analyze, and we fight, and we fight, and we fight. And the toxicity of making wrong leads not to love or peace or joy, but it leads to cancer, psychological cancer, not just physical cancer. It tears not only our bodies apart, it tears our emotions apart, and tears our civilization apart. The toxicity of making others wrong. And it's so easy to have that impulse of saying, no, you're not the one. Because we are looking just at the specific. But even though we make someone not the one, we say, you're out, you're not on my team. You're not the one. They are the one. We are the one. From a different, bigger perspective, you get outside of planet Earth, you start looking down at planet Earth, and we are the one. Well, this is it. And that distinction is very, very important to keep in mind today. And it is very useful to remember what Christ is here to reveal, the oneness of human nature, of humankind. Now, I have brought something today that you haven't seen in several years. And Tim gave this to me the day he retired. And I've been waiting. Because this shows the truth. Some of you know what this is. This is the dog ball. And the dog ball is a very kind of, it's as good as a three-dimensional picture we can have of this. I wish we could have an actual screen up here and have someone design a graphic that you could see all the little inside of the sphere, all the connections within the sphere. But we don't have that. What we have are these little nubs on the ball, and the little nubs are spherical as well. And as simple as this illustration is, no one has forgotten it, right? Because here you have particularity and you have oneness. You have individuality and you have wholeness. And really that's the game of the spiritual journey, is learning how to be both. Learning how to have individuality and oneness. And the spectrum of spiritual maturity, it unfolds as we have an increasing capacity to see the oneness and hold the individuality. The spiritual development, the spectrum, we have an increasing capacity to hold both truths at the same time and to know them and to expand our capacity to know that truth, which means that the borders, the boundaries, the lines that separate this from that, right from wrong, left from right, all of it starts to be included in the oneness, and spiritual maturity allows for less reactivity to the particularity and an increased capacity just to be with what is, because you connect with it at a deeper level of oneness. This dog ball is a beautiful reminder to me of what Christ is trying to reveal: particularity and universality, oneness and manyness. And it's hard for our minds to understand that, because like John's disciples, is that guy the one? Because we don't want to get it wrong. And they're focusing on this. Is that guy the what? The way? It's a very, very different answer. Well, today I'd like to bring this down to a very practical level and to talk about demonstrating this truth of oneness in our lives. And if you look at the quote on the front cover of the bulletin from Yogananda, he talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit, and this is Yogananda, just the autobiography of a yogi, just a beautiful soul. He talks about the fact that most of Christianity doesn't understand the role of the Holy Spirit in this process of anointing individuals to become one. And that the call is not just to celebrate Jesus at Christ, you're the one, baby in a manger, but to understand the oneness that the Holy Spirit is bringing about through the revelation of the Christ. Now, on a very practical level, we heard in the text that Jackie read that the answer that John gave them was, go tell them what he's doing. He's healing the sick, he's healing the lame, the blind are seeing. So all these very practical ways. Don't answer the question with the who, in other words. Answer the question with the what. What is the fruit of your life? If the fruit of your life is demonstrating that oneness, that's the one. If the fruit of your life is demonstrating division, that's not the one. If the fruit of your life is bearing forth love, that's the one. If it's bearing forth hatred or anger or division, that's not the one. That's the little one. So on a very practical level, one of the ways in which we can begin to work on the what, those aspects of our lives that keep in friction and difficulty with one another, is to practice seeing ourselves. And this is just a paragraph from Maurice Nichols' book, Commentary, Psychological Commentaries. I'll be reading from page 1391. And this is a diagnosis, and it's also a remedy to help each of us deal with the particularities of our who-ness and move deeper into the what-ness of the big one. Now, we are taught that we have to observe certain things in ourselves for the reason that if we do not see and separate from them, we will not get in touch with inner development or real I or with higher centers. We have to see and observe certain things in ourselves. So going back to the gospel passage, we have to see those aspects in ourselves that are blind. We have to see those aspects in ourselves that are lame, see those aspects in ourselves that feel dead and need to be brought to life. See what we are. And if we do, we will not get, if we don't, we will not get in touch with inner development or with real I, which is the object of this inner work of Christianity. This work teaches each of us to become aware of, to become conscious of, and so to separate from exactly what blocks you, hinders you from getting in touch with what you really are essentially created to be. This work teaches you to become aware of, to become conscious of, and so to separate from exactly what blocks you, hinders you from getting in touch with what you really are essentially created to be. That is, what essentially you were created for in this developing universe. A person says to me, why should I have to go on observing myself? Why should I know myself? And I might say to them, yes, but what are you observing? And they might say, oh, I am just observing that, for example, I left the gas on, I forgot something at home, I missed the bus, I did not like the newspaper article, and so on. May I tell you that all of this has nothing to do with self-observation in the work sense. What we have to observe from the work point of view is that we are asleep and mechanical, and in that connection, through this shrewd self-observation, the realization that we do not remember ourselves, that we do not know what we are, we lose the oneness, slowly comes in. Of course, people can fight against this and even go out of the work, they can leave it altogether, when they are told that they are machines and do not remember themselves. Yet the first line of conscious, selective self-observation is to realize gradually that we are asleep, that we have no center of gravity, that we are controlled by outside events, and that we swing between hating and loving, liking and disliking, yes and no, in virtually everything. However, this is difficult for us to realize or admit. It is a supreme realization that may mark a turning point that has to do with reversal, but it is a gradual, a long process not attained by any shortcut. And it's that word reversal that I want to conclude with. It is a turning point when we realize this, and it has to do with the reversal of moving from the oneness of observation to the big oneness of knowing. And that reversal is very, very powerful, because what ends up happening as we self-observe and not identify with what we're seeing, our who-ness, we see that the greedy become generous. We see that the angry become kind. We see that the binge addict becomes disciplined. We see that the irritable one becomes peaceful. We see that the sloth becomes a servant with energy to give. We see that the contentious becomes agreeable. We see that the anxious becomes trusting. We see that the one who only sees the enemy sees the one. And this is the miracle of Christ, the one and the many, the universal in the particular, universal human nature in the form of a human being, particular human being. And this reversal happens little by little by our observation, not disagreeing with ourselves, by seeing what we are and working on these little aspects of ourself and learning how to live and work with others and their particularities and their aspects. So it turns out that the very people in our lives that cause us the most friction and difficulty are our ticket to transformation, because they become the place where we're learning how to expand on the spectrum of our capacity to experience oneness. So just think about that person in your life right now. Think about that situation that is occurring that is really bothering you, that is rubbing you the wrong way. And rather than resisting it, moving toward it to see what gift there is in that for you. Before our time of sharing, community sharing, I just want to highlight the fact that Bernadette Roberts' book, The Real Christ, her chapter on the incarnation, which begins on page 281, is one of the finest, most theological accessible descriptions of the union of the particular and the universal, and why that message of incarnation is so important for humankind and for Christianity to get a hold of. to stop putting Jesus in the museum and start demonstrating what Jesus was here to show us, that we too can become anointed by the Spirit, ones who are beloveds in community, but never disconnected from the deep oneness of God source. Let's take a moment now to open the floor for sharing and hear what your Advent journey has been like. And just raise your hand and I'll call on you and a microphone will come to you. Who would like to share what you're experiencing this Advent? You're blown away by my message? Yes, Cynthia.
Well, hopefully I can articulate this well. I think sometimes the group that we are being with in this church, we find a trust and understanding of this oneness. But when we take this out into the world, particularly in a business setting, it can be very different. On one hand, you don't want to deny that knowing, but then on the other hand, when you're working in a business setting, like you said, it can cause a sense of friction due to that maybe there's fear on the other side in conflict. I'm starting an organization, a nonprofit organization called...
Let's just focus on what you're learning.
Well, it is part of it,
okay.
Deeply.
Keep names out, please.
What I'm trying to do is discern how to be my true self in communication with an opportunity that might give rise to conflict in that. Mm-hmm. And so there's also a language barrier. Mm-hmm. It's a company in Hong Kong. And so what I'm learning inside with this exchange of emails is how to find that balance. Mm. And so it is my Advent journey.
Yeah. Thank you, Cynthia, for the realness. It's in day-to-day life in our emails. This is where we're learning. Thank you. Who else? Jeff in the back.
This Advent has been one where I've been able to reach out to brothers and sisters in the church and seek guidance and support and prayers and sharing in the community. And I've been really trying to manifest how I want my interactions with the world. And what it has shown me is amazing. None of what I've asked for has it shown me in the way that I've asked for it, and being able to accept it and see it and be awake in it is a gift. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to David Wallace about this just yesterday. We were laughing a little bit and saying that ignorance is bliss. And sometimes it is, but in this experience that I'm having, each day I'm presented with an opportunity to learn, to grow, and there's a miracle presented for me to bear witness to, if I'm open to it. Mm-hmm. And if I'm asleep, I miss that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you, brother, for your wish to be a miracle worker in the day-to-day life of business.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Who else would like to share today? Anyone? Yes, Gay.
I don't know if this is particularly connected with the Advent season. Maybe it is. But in my personal journey, I'm feeling that I've crossed over into some kind of new territory. I feel that I have come into a space of allowing. And by that I mean allowing everything. I have been in my life quite prone to judging, as you were speaking of earlier in the talk, not just judging others, but judging myself. A friend recently, we were talking about this particular aspect of our lives, and so I found this word of allowing is very meaningful for me. Mm-hmm. I find that I am coming to the realization that nothing needs to be fixed. And I used to think that I was the one to fix it, whatever it was, in myself and others. And this is really has been really profound for me, a big change.
Thank you for that witness to a power of allowing. Steve, in the back.
This is somewhat of an unusual Advent for me and our family because we're not really decorating for Christmas much. We're not doing Christmas cards. But one of my duties this year is to click the attendance at Emily Ann Theater's Trail of Lights every night through Christmas. So I get to sit there and count on a Saturday night. It's like 2,000 people coming through. And just focus entirely on these little kids coming through and seeing all these lights and the anticipation and the flood of people. And my attention is going outside myself to everybody's experience as they come through that gate. And very little of myself is there. So it's been really a joy to be part of that.
Thank you for sharing. Is that Damie in the back? And we'll conclude with you, Damie.
Part of my Advent journey this year has been, it's funny, I just look up and I see someone looking at my foot, and it really goes along with what I was going to say, but I wasn't thinking of my surgery. But I have been coming to realize how much trust I've put in certain outside structures in my life to provide security and stability. And when that rug gets pulled out from under you, you really get to find out. I've gotten to find out how much I have maybe been pretending to trust God, and now I get to really feel trust in God and move in a very vulnerable, very true way. And interesting that physically my life is displaying that, what's happening emotionally and spiritually. Mm-hmm. And it feels a little silly to share this, but I think that it definitely pertains. In the spiritual journey lessons, we've been learning about having certain consolations from God removed as we go deeper in our relationship with God. And, you know, I've had all these little necklaces that I've held very dear to me with gems on them, and they symbolize things. So as I put them on, I'm aware symbolically of what they stand for. And I think 5 or 6 of those necklaces have broken over the last 2 months, and one broke this morning. And as I sat there on my scooter in the bathroom trying to dress myself and get ready today, and this necklace broke and fell on the floor, there was a moment of sadness and then a laughter of, I don't rely on these necklaces to get me through. And so it was just a letting go, a continual letting go.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you. The oneness is always there, even when we lose the particularities. And this is what happens when we die. We have to let go of this particular body and trust that the oneness will take us forward. So let's just take a moment in the silence to just receive what has been shared today and what is landing for you. How is the Spirit speaking to you in this silence? Let's stand and give our hearts to song. Take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands and remember those that have been offered electronically in our hearts. And we remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Thank you. We give thanks for the miracle of reciprocal maintenance, where we are given so much to this community and we give back to our community, and how this process feeds us and the world. We ask that these tithes, gifts, and offerings would be multiplied to become the energy of love and wisdom. For we do not need money. What we need is community and oneness and love. And these things last forever. We dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Star of wonder in the heavens, wonder what you want of me, should I follow you tonight? Star of wonder, star of wonder, just a lonely shepherd watching from a distant hill. Why do you appear to me, star of wonder, if you in the morning they'll come looking for the shepherd on the hill. What would make her leave her flock? For surely she must love them still. Star of wonder in heavens, are you just a shining star, or should I follow you tonight? Star of wonder, star of wonder, shine.
Let us now rest with the beloved for 10 minutes of centering prayer, a contemplative way of consenting to God's love. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
We wish to experience the process of the many becoming one in the Eucharist, where we partake in the host and become the body of Christ together. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Thank you.
Thank you.
living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our source, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song. Thank you for your presence here this morning that contributed to our oneness. Remember the joyful celebration of the Glorious Impossible on Thursday at 7. And the love of God in my heart bows to the love of God in yours until we meet again. Amen. Amen.